You turn in your Bibles now to the book of 2 Kings. We're in the book of 2 Kings. We've just heard about these five kings of Israel who have come and gone really quickly. Pekah, as we'll learn here in chapter 16, is on the throne in Israel. And yet we're looking in chapter 16 at the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. 2 Kings chapter 16, we're reading verses 1 through 20. 2 Kings chapter 16. And these are the words of the Lord. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, became king. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and even made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Aram, recovered Elath for Aram and cleared the Judeans out of Elath entirely. And the Arameans came to Elath and have lived there to this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tilgath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and deliver me from the hand of the king of Aram and from the hand of the king of Israel who are rising up against me. Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house and sent a present to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria listened to him, and the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and captured it, and carried the people of it away into exile to Kir, and put Rezin to death. Now King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw the altar which was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the pattern of the altar and its model according to all its workmanship. So Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. Thus Urijah the priest made it before the coming of King Ahaz from Damascus. When the king came from Damascus, the king saw the altar. Then the king approached the altar and went up to it and burned his burnt offering and his meal offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings on the altar. The bronze altar which was before the Lord he brought from the front of the house, from between his altar and the house of the Lord, and he put it on the north side of his altar. And King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering and the evening meal offering, and the king's burnt offering and his meal offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land and their meal offering and their drink offerings. And sprinkle on it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice. But the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire by. So Urijah the priest did according to all that King Ahaz commanded. And King Ahaz cut off the borders of the stands and removed the laver from them. He also took down the sea from the bronze oxen which were under it and put it on a pavement of stone. He covered way for the Sabbath, which they had built in the house and the outer entry of the king, he removed from the house of the Lord because of the king of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Ahaz slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and his son Hezekiah reigned in his place. Here we come to consider the only king in the southern kingdom of Judah to ever have this said about him, verse 2, he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David. but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and even made his son pass through the fire. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Beloved, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He's the king of Judah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And what this means is that for Ahaz, not even the perversions of Israel satisfied him. It says that he took part in those things, the sacrifices of Israel, and worshipped like Israel, but he went beyond that. Not even the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat were good enough for him. He had to practice the horrors of paganism and child sacrifice. He made his child go through the fire, it says. These were the practices that Israel were supposed to purge from the land of Canaan when they came in to begin with. And it isn't the people, as it often says, the kings of Judah, they didn't take down the high places. They did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but they didn't take down the high places. And so the people will sacrifice at the high places. Normally we see that. But here we don't see the people sacrificing on the high places. We see the king sacrificing on the high places. And so now if Judah shares in the abominations of the nations as Ahab is leading them, and surely they will suffer the same fate as those pagan nations. And so you see some of their land is being taken away into exile. People being taken away into exile, even here. And then, of course, Ahaz caves, verses 5 to 9. And if we take in what we know from 2 Chronicles 28, that's the parallel passage, we see the Edomites were invading Judah to the southeast of Judah. The Philistines to the west had taken some territories and towns in Syria and Israel, as we're seeing here, are inflicting staggering losses in war. And now they're invading Jerusalem itself. And Ahaz caves. Does he cry out for help to Yahweh? No, he goes to the king of Assyria. He doesn't act like a covenant believer, but is a shrewd politician. He says to the king of Assyria, I am your servant and your son. And in that, he is basically, perhaps, giving up his birthright to be saved. He's attempting to break the covenant of the Lord made with David, and yet we know he doesn't break it. He's not failing. He's trying to fail, but cannot. Yahweh will keep his promise that there will be a king who will reign forever on the throne, Jesus Christ, from the descendants of David. But here we see human ingenuity, which says, my troubles are too complex for me to lean upon Yahweh's assurances. But I see a clear and very obvious way to solve this problem, very applicable to us today, because we do that all the time ourselves. We see problems, and we think to ourselves, well, it seems easy enough, we could just do this, and we'll be fine. And yet often, or all the time, we should go rather to the Lord, that He will show us the way by His wisdom through the Scriptures. Yahweh here is not His help. Then in verses 10 to 18, we see his innovation in Yahweh's worship. Further from what we saw at the beginning of the chapter. We can miss it, perhaps, but we do see in verses 10 to 11, a new altar. Verses 12 to 14, he makes new arrangements. Verses 15 to 16, new regulations for worship. Verses 17 and 18, new rationale for worship. Since Ahaz had submitted now to the Assyrian king, he now builds an Assyrian altar. So he's offering false worship. Ahaz, in verse 13, is taking upon himself not the kingly role, but the priestly role. Offering sacrifices himself. Verse 17, Ahaz changed some of the things about worship, not because Yahweh told him to, not because he needed funds or to get those funds to the king of Assyria for help. No, it was simply Ahaz changing worship because he wanted to change worship. Also relevant to our day. And what do man's innovations in worship imply? We see other places the judgment to those who change worship the way they want to. But here we see the implication of man's innovation in worship. It means that there's communicating in that orthodox worship or godly worship is insufficient. And it implies that evil is helped by weakness as much as it is by wickedness. Ahaz is weak. We see this also with Urijah the priest not protesting Ahaz's actions. He should have stood firm. He's a priest. He should have stood firm against the king. And what we see here is that whatever Ahaz commands, Urijah does. But in the end, we have a little bit of hope because Ahaz dies, thankfully, and Hezekiah reigned in his place. Under Hezekiah, there's much religious reform. And so we learn here that we ought not to be inventors of worship. We must not rely upon ourselves for help or from the world, but only Yahweh alone. Let's pray. Father, we, as we come and we worship you now, we would ask that you would keep us from doing what we see in this passage, to being innovators of man-made worship, where automatically when we do those things, we are worshiping the creature and the creation rather than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. And Father, we pray that you would be with us by your Spirit, keeping us from such wickedness and the things of this world and the entertainment culture which we live in, which wants to bring a great entertainment to people in pews to get numbers in people in the door. And yet we know with that great saying that what you win them with, you win them too. And so, Father, we pray that we would be a congregation which proclaims the Word of God faithfully, and we worship you according to your Word as you command us, and that we would not add to it or take away from it, lest we be judged like Nadab and Abihu. Father, be merciful to us where we do, where we are deficient, where we have not come to a better understanding of the Scriptures, and our worship is not according to your word. Lord, wherever those areas are, or we are ignorant of, we ask that you would show them to us so that we could worship you rightly according to your word. And Father, in our souls and our hearts, where we are coming Lord's Day after Lord's Day and not worshiping you with our hearts, but just going through the motions. And perhaps for some of us, not even going through the motions, but just sitting here, doing nothing, and even stopping up our ears. Lord, do your great work, and save our hearts, and sanctify our hearts, that we would count it a great joy to be in the presence of one another as we come into the very presence of the Lord God Almighty, even the Son, Jesus Christ. Before the mercy seat where we receive mercy and grace. And your Son sits pleading for us. And the angels gather around us, multitudes upon multitudes, and we cry out together the praises of the Lord Jesus. Lord, make our hearts understand and come with great zeal and joy, and even tomorrow, and even this evening, that we would have that longing once again to be in the presence of you and in the public assemblies, even for next Lord's Day. Father, we pray that we would also be a people who don't look to ourselves and not, we don't, that we would not look to the world or things of the world or this creation to save us or to deliver us or to protect us or to provide for us or to keep us or to give us the gospel, that we would think that we are good enough in our hearts and minds and bodies in ourselves. But Father, that we would cry out to you daily and throughout the day, unceasingly, upon you, the helper, our fortress, who is our protector, our strength, our power, the one who gives us the ability to see and hear and taste and everything that we do in our lives. Father, calls us to call out upon you with great petition, crying out to you for help and aid and energy and the sustaining of ourselves, but also calling out upon you, thanking you and praising you for what you have done. Let us not be like the king here and King Ahaz, who relied on the things of this world and his own wisdom, which is not wisdom at all, but foolishness. Let us not be like him. Let us not be fools. But let us be wise according to the word of God. Father, again, we pray that you would watch over us. Even now as we worship you, you would keep us from sin and temptation. Keep us from distraction. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.